Okay, good evening again, Erev Shabbos. Welcome to everybody from far and near, Woodmere, Baltimore, Flatbush, wherever you may be, the five towns. We have two generous sponsors for this evening's shiur. After I say the sponsorship and the Elios Neshamos, I just want to spend a couple minutes talking about this shiur and how it started. And you'll see why I want to talk about it specifically now. The first sponsor is Helen Wolf, the Zecher Nishmas, her father, Avram Yona ben Reuven HaKohen, Alav HaShalom, may his neshama have an aliyah and the s'chus of the Torah we will share this evening, and also the Zecher Nishmas, Helen's grandparents. It is also sponsored by Susie Fonfeder in memory and as a zechira neshem of her aunt, Matel Bas Yoshua Halevi, who's Miriam Gooden's mother. So last week, Miriam sponsored in memory of her mother, and this week, Susie Fonfeder, Miriam's cousin, is sponsoring in memory of her aunt. May all the neshamos, Matel Bas Yoshua Halevi, Allah Hashem, Avraham Yona ben Reuven HaKohen, Allah Hashem, and Helen Wolf's grandparents, merit Aliyos in the schus of the Torah that we will share this evening. I thank you both very, very much. And so do all the women who are learning with us. So I just want to tell you something amazing. I reached out to Miriam today. I said, when did this shiur start? This is a COVID-created shiur, if you will. It was never in person and then moved to Zoom. It's always been virtual, reaching people in many different cities. Never mind the online listeners. And it was started because Miriam approached me. With a small group of women, a friend of theirs, her daughter was expecting a child. I mentioned this a couple months ago. Her daughter was expecting a child and it was very high risk. And as chus for that unborn baby, they wanted to do three Pirkei Avos shiurim as a chus for the baby. The baby was born and was not meant to be in Olam Hazeh for longer than the birth, etc. And then Hashem was immediately taken. It was very difficult. I remember when Miriam called me and said that the baby did not live, did not survive. And so the three original shiurim were chus for that child. That baby came to this world and immediately went to the next world. And then Miriam said, you know, the women really want to continue the shiur. So Miriam told me that today on the English calendar is exactly 1 year. We have learned almost every single Thursday night besides for Yom Tov. Even Erev Rosh Hashanah we would shiur for a year. It's so inspiring. It's not through a shul, it's not through an organization. It's through every single woman and family who has undertaken to sponsor this Torah for all different causes. It's extremely inspiring to me. I hope to you how much Torah has emanated. So nobody knows the ways with the Ribbono Shel Olam. I don't even know if that family knows we're still learning. But it seems to be, I don't know, that neshama needed to come to this world. One of the reasons, I'm not saying I know the ways of God, I don't, is to bring this Torah to this world. Because of that baby, we have had a full year of weekly learning with many insights, and I hope much tikkun amidos and enlightenment for all of us who join. And I want to express my karsato to Ribbono Shel Olam. I know it's English calendar for a year of this year. You know, in the beginning of COVID, who would have imagined some good things did come? One of them was the creation of hundreds of hours of learning and all the people who listen online, even more hours of learning. All the women who have committed to sponsoring, June is already taken, Mikam Chayisrael. All the women who join in, who take the time to learn, all the Torah that has emanated. It's incredible. So Hodu Lashem Kitov Kili Olam Chasto, and from a terrible Nisayon of darkness for one family, the light of Torah has burst forth in the world through this shiur. And I hope if they know that this shiur is ongoing, it brings them some chizuk and some nechama. But as that child had a very important tafkir, again, I don't know the ways of God, but one thing it seems to be, is that child was a catalyst, that pure neshama, a catalyst and a shaliach for the creation of this shir chabura. And Hashem should just bench us with arichos yamim and shanim to continue learning together. I thank all of you who participate. I thank everyone who past sponsors, tonight sponsors, future sponsors. I thank the Ribbono Shel Olam for the zuchos of Zoom and being able, could never even go back to in person, was never in person. It's a Zoom created shiur. It's a COVID created shiur. We come from all over. And that pure neshama really brought a tremendous gift to all of us. And I hope that it is a zuchus and a nechama and a chizuk for the family of that baby. Okay. Wow, it's very, I find it overwhelmingly amazing. So, let's learn. I'm going to start the screen share. Let me just go. Oh, I see my mother-in-law just joined. So, good evening, Ima. Welcome to our share. So, we are in the Mishnah. We're going to a different Mishnah that relates, okay? So, we have been studying for the past couple of weeks. Pirkei Avos, Perek Av, Mishnah Yud Beis, Hillel v'Shamai, Kilu Mem. You know what? I need to turn on another light. It's dark for me where I'm sitting. I had to move downstairs. 1 second, please. Okay, sorry. So we have been studying this Mishnah. Can you see my screen? I forgot to ask. Thank you. Hello, Vashame Kibu Mehim. Hello, Omer. Hervemi Talmid of Sha'aron. Oh, Hev Shalom. You should love peace. Real Dev Shalom. Last time we had a really compelling and fascinating Chiddush based on Rabbi Zev Lef into this Mishnah. If you missed it, you should check it out online. Oh, Hev Esabrius, Umakarvon the Torah. So we're talking about this topic of Shalom. And for the most part, we run after Shalom. There are times when, as Rabbi Zev Lef taught us, we have to be Real Dev Shalom, run away from peace, as we explored last week. The final Mishnah of Perek Aleph in Pirkei Avos also talks about the topic of Shalom, and this is what I would like to speak about this evening as related to Ohev Shalom Virodev Shalom. So the Mishnah tells us in Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Yod Ches, which is the final Mishnah of Perek Aleph. Rabban Shimon ben Gamliel Omer, Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid, upon three things does the world stand. So in the beginning of Pirkei Avos, we are told, Perek Aleph, Mishnah Beis, Shimon HaTzadik Hay Mishiare Knesses HaGadola, Hu Haya Omer Al Shlosha Dvarim Ha'olam Omeid. Al Torah v'Avodah Gmilas Chasadim. Here we are told, Al Shlosh Advarim Ha'olam Amir, Al Shlosh Advarim Ha'olam Kayam. I don't want to misquote the Mishnah. Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis, Al Shlosh Advarim Ha'olam Omeid. In both cases, it's Ha'olam Omeid. Okay? There, it's Torah v'Avodah Gmilas Chasadim. And here we're told something else. Al Shlosh Advarim Ha'olam Omeid. Upon three things does the world stand. Al Hadin, on justice, v'Al Ha'ames, and on truth, v'Al HaShalom. So one of the pillars that holds up the world, as we have been exploring the past 2 weeks, about Ohev Shalom v'Rodev Shalom, it's not just a nice idea to pursue peace, to love people and bring them close to Torah through Darche Shalom, but Shalom is one of the pillars of the world. So Rav Shalom Sherfal Hirsch in his commentary to Pirkei Avos explains, what does it mean upon these things the world stands? So Rav Hirsch explains, imagine you have, it might be Rav Lau who explains, you have a tripod, okay? A camera resting upon a tripod. If you take one leg away, the whole thing's going to fall down. A tripod cannot stand. Think of a camera. It can't stand on two legs. It will fall down. So that's what these three things mean. Each one is an integral component that holds up the world. And if one of them is taken away, there is no more existence to the world. So in the beginning, we learn, by that I mean the second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, Torah is an integral component that holds up the world. Avoda, which used to be Karbanos, Rabbeinu Yonah explains, but today it is Tefillah. Without Torah, without Tefillah, without Gemilas Chasadim, you take away one pillar, the world would cease to be. And here, Perek Aleph closes by telling us there are three other pillars that also hold up the world. You're going to see Rabbi Dr. Tversky distinguishes between those three and these three. What is the difference? We're not coming up to that yet. Al Hadin, on justice, v'al ha'emes, and upon the truth, v'al ha'shalom. So if you don't have shalom in the world will cease to exist. Shanemar, quoting a pasuk from Zechariah, Emes u'mishpat shalom. So here you have truth and justice and peace. Shiftu b'sharechem, you shall execute in your gate. So this is the proof that the Mishnah uses to prove that you need all these three pillars. You must have justice. A world without justice is a Sodom and Amora. A world without Emes is a world of Sheker, and it can't exist, and it can't continue, and a world without Shalom is not a world at all. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, in his commentary to Pirkei Avos, brings down something very beautiful. Rav Yisrael Meir Lau Shlita, in his Yachal Yisrael. So he points out that by the time of Maaseh Bereishis, okay, so this Mishnah has told us that these three things hold up the world. Din, justice, Emes, truth, Shalom, peace. And Rav Lau tells us, quoting the Pasuk from Sefer Bereishis, Maaseh Bereishis, Perek Aleph, Pasuk Yud Aleph. Vayomer Elokim. Elokim said, Tadshe ha'aretz desha, esef mazriya zera, eitz pri osa pri libino. Let the earth give forth grasses, vegetation, grasses seeding seed, a fruit tree making fruit according to its kind, asher zara bo, that its seed is in it, al ha'aretz upon the earth, vayihi kein. And it was so. So when God commanded in Perek Al Pasuk Yudalef the creation of the earth, when it came to the vegetation sprouting, the Pasuk says, Tadshe ha'aretz desha, let the earth sprout forth vegetation. Rav Lau brings down that desha, okay, is an acronym for the three things in our Mishnah upon which the world stands. Din, Dalet is Din, Shin is Shalom, and Emes, Aleph is Emes. So you see, without these three things, I should have bolded the first letters. I think it's pretty clear. If you got my gematria last time from Rabbi Glatstein, someone who listed online, Esti Klein said, even without seeing the Zoom blackboard, I still got it. So if you got that last week, you could certainly get this. Tadshe ha'aretz desha, at the time that the earth starts sprouting forth vegetation, we already have an allusion to Din Shalom Emes. So we see from the time of Maisa Bereishis, Hashem ingrained into the very existence of the earth these three components. And if we try and imagine a world without justice, without truth, and without peace, we know that that world is not conducive to human existence in any way, shape, or form. Tadshe ha'aretz desha, Din Shalom and Emes. Furthermore, I was thinking something very interesting. I think it's very interesting when the Mishnah says, Al shlosh advarim ha'olam omeid, ala din val emes val shalom. So before I go to Rabbi Dr. Twersky, Parak Aleph Mishnah Beis, okay, Rabbi Shimon Hai Mishar Knesset Kagadola, who Ayomer, Shlosh Advarim Ha'olam Meid, Ala Torah Val Voda Gvimilas Chasadim. So I'm just going to propose, I think, an interesting thought that I had. Those are things we offer to God. Torah, our Torah learning, Avoda, our prayers, we don't have Korbanos anymore. And our gemilas chasadim, I know we're doing it with other people, but what we're doing is offering our avodas Hashem to the Ribono Shel Olam. That comes from us. So those three things from our end, we have to do our hishtadlus, hold up the world. Those are the human beings, or the Jews, I should say, contribution to the tripod that holds up the world. Every Jew is incumbent to involve themselves in a life of Torah. One of the questions are going to be asked in the Olam HaEmes, Shabbos, Lamed, Aleph, Aleph, Kavata, Itim, LaTorah. I know we're women and we don't have a specific time to be Koveya, Itim, but everybody knows that if you don't learn to use the connection to Hashem, it's not possible to maintain connection if you don't have some Kesher. Someone emailed me in the beginning of the week. She listened to a certain shir. She said she really feels bad for people who do not make the time zone. I said, I also do that. I'm not talking about learning with me or not learning with me. Find someone who speaks to you. It doesn't have to be me. Find someone shir that speaks to you. If you're not learning, how could you make connected? If you're not connected, how is there meaning? If there's no meaning, how do you pass it on to the next generation? It's not possible. So everyone has a chiyuv. Torah, avodah, gemilas, chasadim. Those are the three pillars we build. We must build Torah in our lives, a foundation of Torah. Avoda, we must have tefillah in our lives. And we must have gemilas chesed when we do for other people. So those three pillars are man-centric, human-centric, if you will. In a little bit of a spin on the Mishnah, Din Shalom and Emes, or Din Emes Shalom, because according to the Pshat, it's what we must build. We must have truth. We must have justice. We must have peace. But that, in a sense, can be seen also, not on the level of the Pshat, but Drash, as God's contributions to this world. Because I'm going to bring you proof from three different places in the Gemara, where Hashem is the Dayan, Hashem's seal is Emes, and Hashem's name is Shalom. So perhaps Pirkei Avos Perek Aleph opens with telling us what we must do to hold up the world. And Perek Aleph closes with telling us that it is really Hashem who holds up the whole world. And therefore we have a partnership. Hashem says, if you do your part, I'll do our part. And we say, if I do our part, you do your part, Hashem. So we do our part. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. We have to make sure to do it and do it well. It's a Venn diagram. Some people excel more in Torah. Okay? It doesn't mean that they shouldn't do tefillah and gemilas chasadim. Some people's forte is chesed, and they learn less. Whatever it is, it overlaps. You have to do all three. So we say, this is what we do from down here to up there to hold up the world. And God says, this is what I do to hold up the world. Hashem gives us the capability and the ability to do din, to do emes, and to do sham. So where do we see that Hashem is represented in these three elements? Okay, so the Gemara tells us in Masecha Shabbos 55a, the Gemara says Befeirush, Chos Nun Hei Amar Aleph, Chos Moshe El Kolash Baruch Hu Emes. The seal of God is truth. Okay, Moshe Emes, Visoraso Emes, Chos Moshe El Kolash Baruch Hu Emes. Hashem is a seal. Okay, you have a signature. You have a fingerprint. You have an eye, what do they call it? Eye scan? I don't know. Some in the airport. Clear. They scan your eyes. You have a unique eye print. You have a fingerprint. You have your unique signature. Hashem also has a signature. He has a signet ring, Kavi Acha, and it is MS. Hachos Moshe Kosh Baruch Hu MS, the Gemara says that beferish. So Hashem gives us his seal of truth to this world, and that holds up the world. Maseches Brachos 54a tells us, Val Basuras Tovos Omer, when you hear good news, when there's a simcha, you say, Baruch Tova Meitiv, blessed is the one who is good and who does good. That's when you have good news. What about we live in a world where it's not always good news? What about when there's Rachman al-Islam, though they knew unfortunate news? Al-Busuros Ra'os Omer, over bad news, what should one say? Baruch Dayan Ha'emes. You know what I'm going to do? I'm going to copy and paste the Mishnah here so you could see what I'm doing. Here we go. Okay. Whoop. What I'm proposing is that Perek Aleph Mishnah Beis is telling us we hold up the world with three pillars. Our Torah, our Avoda, our Gemilas Chasadim, individually and collectively, are the three pillars that hold up the world. And perhaps Perek Aleph Mishnah Yod Ches comes to tell us Hashem does his part as well in holding up the world. He is Emes. That's his fingerprint, Kaviyachal. That is his signet ring. That's his signature. His Emes holds up the world. Furthermore, so that takes care of MS. Another component that holds up the world is Din. And there's only one Dayan MS. Dayan MS, no pun intended. And the ultimate Dayan is not me, and it's not you, and it's not the judge who sits in the Supreme Court. There's one Dayan MS. Val Basuras Tovas Omer Baruch HaTova Meitiv. When you hear good news, you say, blessed is the one who is good and does good, meaning God is good and does good. Al Basuras Raos Omer. And unfortunately, life has happy times, and life is difficult times. When a person has bad news, they also make a Baruch, and they say, Baruch Dayan. It's interesting that here both the elements of God come together. Blessed is the Dayan of truth. So one of the elements, foundational elements of God is that he is a Dayan. Yom Hadin. The whole Rosh Hashanah is known as Yom Hadin. Another element of God is that his seal is Emes. And finally, when it comes to Shalom, his name is Shalom. The Gemara says in Masechah Shabbos, Yor Amad Beis, Misaye Leile Rav Hamnuna, Mishmei De'ula De'amar. Okay, so the Gemara tells the name of Rav Hamnuna in the name of Ula, saying, Asur La'adam Sheitein Shalom Lechaveru Beveis Hamerchatz. It is forbidden for a person to say to his friend in the bathhouse, in olden days, and in Talmudic times, okay, they didn't have times of the Mishnah, times of the Gemara. They didn't have what we have today. You know, if you have like three bathrooms in a house, you're a Nebuch person. And if you have five bathrooms, and it's so wonderful, we have two bedrooms, not me in my house, but many people have two bedrooms connected to one bathroom. And it's like we're like kings, and we don't even realize we're like kings. In the olden days, you would go to the bathhouse, and there would be a lot of people taking a shower in the bathhouse, not just one person, you know, in your own house, in your own privacy. So you would see people that you would know. But it's usher to tell someone who you meet in the bathhouse, oh, shalom aleichem. And they would say to you, aleichem shalom. When you're in the bathhouse, you're not allowed to do this. But based on merchats in the washing list, why not? Mishum shenemar vayikra lo Hashem shalom. Because the pasuk says in Shoftim, and he called him Hashem shalom. And Rashi on the Gemara says, Gidon la kodesh baruch hu Hashem shalom. Gidon called the kodesh baruch hu shalom. So one of the names of the Ribbono Shel Olam, I can't remember, someone just told me, it was one of my kids. Tamar, maybe? I don't remember. One of the kids just told me, someone spoke. I think maybe it was Rabbi Glotstein at that Shavuot Shir that I quoted from last week. The names of Hashem, the Gematria. I think it was Rabbi Glotstein, and Tamar told me, I think I didn't hear him say it, but I could be wrong. That one of his sons is named Shalom. Again, I think it's Rabbi Glatzi, this part could be wrong, but definitely it was in a recent shir, and the child's name is Shalom, and you know those towels that come, you know, they have a little hood, and you give it as baby presents with names. So they got towels with the name Shalom, and he said in the shir, they can't use them. They can't take them into the bathroom. It's so interesting because one of the names of Hashem is Shalom. It would be taking a towel into the bathroom that has the yud and the hey, then the vav, then the hey, which of course we don't do. Shalom is one of the names of Hashem. And so that towel, he said, I'm almost positive it was Rabbi Gladstein, but that part could be wrong, cannot be taken into the bathroom. So I thought that it was very interesting to consider this Mishnah and the first Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, the second Mishnah in Pirkei Avos, what is the difference? If the world stands upon these three things, so which three things is it? Is it Torah, Vodug, Milas, Chasadim? Is it Din, Emes, and Shalom? If the world only stands on three things, which three things? So the human-centric aspect is, it stands upon our contributions of Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim. Without us individually and communally being engaged in these three aspects, Torah learning, Tefillah, Be'ezrat Hashem, when the Beis HaMikdash will be rebuilt, it will be Karbanos B'mhir B'yameinu, and Gemilas Chesed, the world would stop existing if we stop doing our part to hold it up on a tripod. But the last Mishnah in Perek Aleph, perhaps, is telling us something else. And that's telling us, the Pasuk says, I put it on my hand. So there's a Pasuk in Devarim, Perek Dalet, Pasuk Lamed Hey, Atah HaRei Sel Adas, you have begun to be shown, to known, Ki Hashem Hu Elokim, Hashem is Elokim, Ein Om Avado. There's nothing other than God. So ultimately, what really holds up the world is the human-centric model, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, but ultimately, without the backing, so to speak, of Hashem, without God's three pillars holding up the world, without Hashem himself, Ein Om Avado, there's nothing besides for Hashem. There's nothing that really exists besides for Hashem. Everything we see is an illusion. Everything is some manifestation of godliness in this world. So the three pillars at the end of Pirkei Avos, Perek Aleph, are telling us that's the God-centric three pillars. Hashem is the Dayan, so therefore Din is one of the pillars that holds up the world, because that's Hashem. Emes, Chos Moshe Kol Shel Baruch Hu Emes, it's the seal of Hashem, of truth, that holds up our world. And finally, Shalom is the name of Hashem. I brought you the three sources here. Shabbos 55a, Chos Moshe Kol Shel Baruch Hu Emes. Brachos 54a, Baruch Dayan, he is the Dayan. And finally, Shabbos, Yud Amud Beis, 10b, Hashem's name is Shalom, and therefore you're not even allowed to say to your friend in the bathhouse, Shalom Aleichem. I wonder then if you can say, interesting, if you will not be able to say, I know, I'm just thinking, like, if two men are in a mikveh, Erev Shabbos, would you be able to say in Israel, would you be able to say to your, I don't know, I don't teach halacha, it's an interesting question, would you be able to say Shabbat Shalom to another person when you're unclothed in a sort of bathhouse? I don't know. But because it's one of the names of Hashem, it can't be said in the bathhouse, so I think we could propose Din, Emes, and Shalom represent the pillars of God himself, Bekvodo Uva'atzmo, who hold up our world through his midos. We know Hashem has different midos. So to Yudalat Aleph, Hashem has different midos. We have to emulate his midos, but he is the primary source of all midos. He is Din, it's his Din that holds up the world. He is Emes, it's his Emes that holds up the world. He is Shalom, it's his Shalom that holds up the world. So I thought that was very interesting and very beautiful. Okay, so now I'm going to go to Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky Zatzal on Pirkei Avos and see what he has to say on this Mishnah, and he proposes something different than what I proposed. Okay, I'm quoting from Visions of Our Fathers by Rabbi Dr. Abram J. Twersky. Okay, al shol shadvarim ha'olam kayam, al hadin ve'al ha'emes ve'al ha'shalom. This Mishnah, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, is neither a repetition or refutation of the second Mishnah. It's not a repetition. It can't be a repetition. That was Torah, Vodah, Gemilas Chasadim. This is Din, Shalom, Emes. It's clearly three different aspects. But it's also not a refutation. So it's not saying, oh, wait, you know, 18 Mishnahs later, we're not saying those things hold up the world. These things hold up the world. Right, Dr. Twersky says both of these three tripods are necessary. The former, Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim, according to Rabbi Dr. Twersky, is referring to the virtues and merits which sustain the world. In the virtue and merit of Torah, Avodah, and Gemilas Chasadim, the world is sustained. This Mishnah, Din, Emes, and Shalom, is referring to the requisites for society to exist and function. Those hold up the world. Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. These hold up society. And before I even go further, if you think of a society that does not have, Din, Shalom, and Emes, it is a society of complete anarchy and complete chaos. And listen to what Dr. Twersky says, and this was a rin in 2020, and everyone remembers the pachad of last summer, the riots, the boarding up of the stores on Central Avenue, the pandemonium of people running to buy guns, not knowing what was happening, America burning. One of my boys came home from school yesterday and he said, the rabbi was talking about the current matzav. If you didn't see Mishpacha last week, I've recommended already in a few classes, you should read it. It's called How Social Media Brought Gaza to Manhattan, but it's not only to Manhattan. It's to London, Chicago, Florida, all over. 1 second, sorry, yes.
Where's the food?
I'm in here. Check on the counter. I don't know if you want Felicia, because there's chicken, onions, kugels. Okay, sweetie. There's lasagna in the fridge also from last night. You could warm it up. Sorry. Even if I would have put myself on mute, it would have been a recording, so it wouldn't have helped. So that child who just came down. So the Rebbe was talking about the current situation today. And my son said, a boy raised his hand and he says, his great grandmother said, this is exactly how it started in the 30s. And yeah, Jews were being beaten up in the streets and nobody did anything. When we have a world without din, without MS and without shalom, the world cannot exist. It utterly crushes, and society specifically cannot be upheld. And Rabbi Dr. Twersky says, quote, the teachings of this Mishnah are, the point is that my son said, why are we waiting? And why aren't we going to Israel? And what are you waiting for? And you're going to say when it's too late, oh, we should have gone. Like, that's what his mom is telling me. The teachings of this Mishnah are of particular, and he means it, are of particular significance today, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, because we are facing the threat of social disintegration. I'm going to repeat that. The teachings of this Mishnah of particular significance today, we are facing the threat of social disintegration. So again, Torah Avodah Gemilas Chasadim holds up the actual world. Din, Emes, and Shalom holds up society so that it is an integral and functioning, healthy society. Today we are facing the threat of social disintegration. Quote, crime is rampant. The number of criminals requiring incarceration is increasing at a more rapid rate than the construction of prisons to contain them. Unfortunately, today in New York with the bail reform, no one's going to jail. Scandal and corruption pervade all levels of government. Our streets are unsafe. Our youth are being destroyed by drugs. Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel's words are worth heeding. I'm going to repeat that again without interrupting him. The teachings of this Mishnah are of particular significance today because we are facing the threat of social disintegration. Crime is rampant. The number of criminals requiring incarceration is increasing at a more rapid rate than we could even build the prisons. Scandal and corruption pervade all levels of government. Our streets are unsafe. Our youth are being destroyed by drugs. We must heed the words of Rabbi Shimon ben Gamliel. Law, truth, and peace. Din, shalom, and emes. Yes, we have a legal system, but it is clearly, he writes, not providing for an orderly society. You know, in Sodom, they also had a legal system. The judges' names were Sheker, liar, deceiver. That's what the names of the judges, the Gemara says. They were liar and deceiver. That's who ruled in Saddam. And today they arrest criminals and it's a revolving door. I just saw a headline. Someone went over to a woman in the street and punched her. He had been arrested, I forget how many times in the past year, and just keeps being released. So is that a justice system? Is that din, which holds up society? The law cannot exist hand in hand, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, if it does not go with truth. So what is the connection he's explaining between din and emes? The Mishnah says you need three things, din, shalom, and emes. What is the connection between din and emes? Quote, the law cannot exist if it does not go hand in hand with truth. The prerequisite for the law should be truth. So you could have a law, it could be a sham, a liar and deceiver, an obstructor of justice, where the judges in Saddam. It's very nice. So you have a sham of a court. What kind of court is that? I have spoken with criminal lawyers who have said to me, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, their job is to have their clients acquitted or get the most lenient punishment possible. They might know their client is guilty and they can stand up in a court of law and argue that he is innocent. And this erodes entirely the society in which we live in, and we are witnessing it more and more and more in our day. We pointed out previously, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, that legislation based totally on human intellect is unreliable. And it must be based on the laws of God for legislation to be reliable. Saddam, he says, had a code of law. How did that go over? The system justified the most inhumane behavior. They would put tall people into short beds and short people into tall beds. They would stress people, squish people. And then he says, Nazi Germany legalized the worst atrocities known to mankind. But it was legal. That was the law. So din alone is not enough. We see from this Mishnah that din must be tempered or made partnership with MS and ultimately with Shalom. If you don't have all three components, you could have din. So they had laws in Saddam. They had laws under King Ferdinand and Isabella. The law was burn the Jews at the pyre. That was the law. It was a law. Din is not enough if you do not stand for the truth, the absolute objective truth. Nazi Germany legalized the worst atrocities known to mankind. Even after the exposures of the horrors of Dr. Mengele and other Nazi criminals, there are many countries that shelter them. And it reminded me, last week's Mishpacha was fantastic. Ema, I saved it for you because there's some articles I want you to read. They're coming for Shabbos, Baruch Hashem. Baruch Hashem. Did anyone see this opposite the glass in honor of the 60th anniversary of the Eichmann trial? It was amazing. You should try and get it if you can. It was just incredible. He himself was, he fled the Holocaust with his family as a young child. And he became, he's now 94 years old. Justice Gavriel Bach, B-A-C-H. He was an 11-year-old boy in Germany. He was saved by the kick of a Nazi boot. It's amazing. He might save it for you. 2 decades later, the table turned and he was a prosecutor in the Eichmann trial. It was his team responsible for collecting the evidence that would neutralize the evil mastermind of the final solution. Not a day goes by that Gavriel Bach, 94, does not think of the tribunal 60 years ago this month. But specifically, I want to read you just the whole article is worth reading. Read the cover story, Gaza to Manhattan. Read this. It's just fascinating, absolutely fascinating. But I thought of one specific point when I was preparing this year. Rabbi Dr. Twersky says you must have din, kind of a revolving door, unlike criminals out in the street, which is unfortunately what we're seeing today with the bail reform, some reform. But it has to be din that is founded upon MS. Because Saddam also had din. And Nazi Germany also had din. And King Ferdinand and Isabella also had din. It was called the Inquisition. That was the din. If you don't want to see the truth of how the world should be run, not subjective truth, what you think is true, God's truth. Remember, we already proposed that these three pillars really represent the Ribon Shalom. I brought you the three sources from the Gemara. Hashem is the Dayan. Hashem is Emes. Hashem is Shalom. If you don't want to see the Ribon Shalom's truth, then your justice is not justice. It's a farce. It's a sham. It's nothing. So I'm quoting one small excerpt because when I was preparing the shiur and he mentions the Nazi Germany legalized the worst crimes known to humankind. Even after the exposure of the horrors of Dr. Mengele, there were societies and countries that hid these criminals. It was not easy for Bach, I'm not sure you pronounce his last name, Gavriel Bach. The horrific material he encountered gave him no peace for years to come. And the isolation from his family was difficult. He would return home for weekends, but even then, his heart, he was busy the whole week collecting evidence and building the case. His heart and mind were filled with the scenes and documents he had viewed throughout the week. Listen carefully. He will never forget his first encounter with Eichmann himself. As part of his duties, Bach liaised between Eichmann and the outside world. If the prisoner had a request, he was to inform Bach. So Eichmann would have to come to Gavriel Bach and inform him. That morning, Bach remembers, the first time he met Eichmann, I was in my office reading an autobiography written by one of the most heinous murderers, Rudolf Franz Haas, the commander of Auschwitz. So Bach was going through all kinds of documentation from all the world, testimony, survivor information, anything he could get his hand on to build the case. So that morning, he happened to be reading the autobiography written by one of the most infamous murderers, Rudolf Franz Haas. He was the commander of Auschwitz. Haas, H-O-S-S, Yimach Shmo, was apprehended after the war. He was put in trial in Poland, and he was executed by hanging in 1947 inside the Auschwitz camp. He spent his final days before his hanging writing his memoirs. So here I was, says Gavriel Bach, reading a passage where a Haas described killing about 1,000 Jewish children a day. And he wrote that he admitted, even for him, sometimes it was too much. Sometimes he wrote, quote, I felt weak-kneed. He was weak in the knees. The commander of Auschwitz, Rudolf Franz Haas, Yimach Shmo, who was killing 1,000 Jewish children a day, wrote in his own memoirs, for me, it was sometimes too much. But there was one thing that made him rally. He could do the job. Quote, he wrote in his memoirs, after I spoke to Obersturmbannführer Eichmann, he explained to me it was especially important to kill the children. It makes no sense to kill only the adults and then to leave alive a generation of avengers, Eichmann explained, and this gave me the strength to continue killing the children. That was the law. They also had a law. So what do you have if you have Din, but you don't have Emes and you don't have Shalom? What happens to society? As I am trying to digest what I had just read, says Justice Bach, I suddenly received a message. Eichmann wants to see you. And I heard his footsteps in the corridor as he was led to my office. For one moment, I saw myself. I was that little child standing with my family on the platform at Auschwitz. He remembers how Eichmann, henchman that he was, always remained a German gentleman. He always tried to be polite. And every time he encountered Bach, he would stand at attention. So you could have Din. Is bail reform Din? Was Nazi Germany Din? Was Saddam Din? Did King Ferdinand and Isabel of Din? Pharaoh also made a law. He also had a law. He had a law too, called Beni Ariyashat Hashichu. That's a law. Achashverosh also had a law. Lashmid La Ragabid. They also had laws. The first three things, says Rabbi Dr. Twersky, represent the upholding of the world. Torah avodah gemilas chasadim. Not our pshat, Rabbi Dr. Twersky's pshat. The final three pillars in Parak Aleph represent not the upholding of the world, the upholding of society. If you don't have din coupled with emes of God, not your own emes, and married to shalom, then society crumbles. The world could still exist. Without Torah, Vodik, Beshazan, the world can't exist. But without din, shalom, and emes, society cannot exist. Even after the exposures of the horrors of Dr. Mengele and other Nazi criminals, there were countries that sheltered them. When law is not based on unalterable principles, it cannot assure the peace necessary to sustain a society. When the law is not based on MS, it cannot assure the shalom. When din, let me use the words of the Mishnah, when din is not based on MS, it cannot assure the shalom that is necessary to sustain society. And when we look today, we see how true are the words of Chazal, how prophetic the teachings of Chazal in this Mishnah are. They understood well that if din is not built on emes, shalom will disintegrate and society right along with it. First pshat we offered, our part is Torah, Avodah, Gemilas Chasadim. And God says, if you do your part to hold up the world, I will do my part, so to speak, because God is the Dayan, God's seal is Emes, and God's name is Shalom Halavai, we should be Zoche. Emes u'mishpat shalom shiftu b'sha'arechem, to see the fulfillment of the prophecy of Zechariah. We should have truth, we should have justice, and it should bring us peace executed in all of our cities and all of our gates. Once again, that baby's neshama does not need an aliyah. It was born and ascended immediately, a very pure neshama. But the pain of that family and the loss of that family brought so much light of Torah to this world. And it's really inspiring to me and all of you women. I thank every single past, current, future sponsor, every single woman who takes the time to learn with us Thursday night, Miriam Goodman for her organization, everyone who listens on YU Torah. I hope that is a chizuk and a nechama for the family to know what emanated from their loss. And we thank Susie Fonfetter specifically for her schus, the neshama, her aunt, Mato Bas Yoshua Halevi Alasham, and Helen Wolf, Zecher Nishmas, her father, Avam Yona Ben Ruvena Koin Alasham, and all of her grandparents. We should share simchas, and the shir should be a schus for all of us, for Richos Yamim, Yeshanim, until the BS called tzedek, when justice, truth, and peace will ultimately prevail. And with that, I wish you all a Shabbat Shalom, and Be'ezrat Hashem, our learning continues next week. Thank you so much, everybody. Kol tov. Thank you all.